It's time to learn what's happening in nearby Sauk Prairie. Rolla Bresch is here with another edition of Mornings at McFarland's from our 99.7 FM studios at McFarland's in Sauk City. Today's program is brought to you by DeMars Plumbing, Prairie Clinic, and Sophie's Fine Jewelry and Gift Shop.
Nothing could be finer than to be on Carolina in the morning. Things can get quite silly when I talk with my friend Billy at McFarland's. Yes, that's right. Billy Leavers is here this morning. Welcome to Mornings at McFarland's on this Winnie the Pooh and the Blustery Day program. I was walking into the office today, and I swear to gosh, Billy, if I had been Mary Poppins carrying an umbrella, I would have been gone. I would have been in Prairie du Sac like that. I mean, it was just crazy windy out there. So thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for asking me, Earl, yeah. And thanks for not being Mary Poppins.
Yeah, that would be kind of weird, wouldn't it?
That would be very weird for all of us here. Yeah.
I could start wearing 19th century Edwardian dresses. Don't you think that would be kind of cool?
You already do.
Good thing people aren't watching us today, right?
Going, correct.
Oh my God, this mauve doesn't go with the floor. What's going on? It's weird that I even know the word mauve, isn't it?
So, what word?
Mauve. It's kind of a red. I don't know.
Okay, sounds good.
Anyways, thanks, Bill, for joining us. You've been on the show before, and it's always a lot of fun because Bill and I have known each other for, well, as long as I've been here, 15 years.
Yeah, about 100 years or so.
Yeah. Well, I think combined, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
And then you've been here for like 34 years or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 37. You keep forgetting. I'll be 37 in June.
37 in June.
Yeah, so I'm rounding up.
So you came here when you were like, what, 12?
Three.
So we'll go see Billy. Ooh, goo, ga, ga.
Yeah, the child labor laws were much different back when I grew up, so.
Yeah, they were, in fact. And it was hard to explain to people what a chainsaw was because you were just like, vroom, vroom. So
they got their picture.
It's like, why is that kid holding a chainsaw? He's one of our salesmen. Don't bother him. So he needs to concentrate right now.
And he knows how to use that thing, so yeah. Be careful.
Yeah, although you were just at a chainsaw class, too, speaking of, you know, weird associations, Aldo Leopold Center runs these chainsaw safety classes, and you were saying there was, like, kids that were, like, 10 or 11 that were taking
the class? Yeah, I was just taught the Sauk County farm safety chainsaw stuff.
Okay.
So, yeah, the Aldo Leopold, that wasn't the Aldo Leopold saw, but, okay. So we had there's 30-some kids taking Sauk County farm safety, which is really cool to see, and, yeah, so I do the chainsaw part of it there, and a lot of the kids who are, you know, 12 to 15 years old have run chainsaws already.
Wow.
So it was a little surprising, and every year there are a few.
Yeah.
And you can tell the ones that do and the ones that don't, but we had a great seminar, great session. Great. And hopefully they took home some good safety tips on that.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, they're going to have to use them, they have to use them, so you might as well have them learn the safe way of using them.
That's
right?
Correct.
So, although I'm 56 years old, and there's no way in heck you want me handling a chainsaw, even if I have had the chainsaw safety course.
Yeah, Raul's not taking chainsaw safety. As soon as they see Raul, they will say, no, Raul, I don't think you qualified today.
We can't certify you.
No.
We have nothing for crazy people.
You are certifiable, but that's different.
Very true. So, now, Billy, you have a pretty extensive background in farming. I know you're a woodland land owner yourself, so I think of that in terms of how lucky we are to have someone like you that is not just a salesperson, but you've used the stuff that we've got on the floor. You're aware of the stuff's problems, and I've never seen you like avoid talking about the problems that things have or the things that people need to consider with even, you know, lines of equipment that we're carrying. So I appreciate that.
And avoiding the problem doesn't solve the problem. So I've my dad told me that many, many, many years ago. And some things dad teaches you, you don't ever forget. So.
Yeah. What's that old saying about not making a decision is still making a decision.
That's so, correct. Exactly.
And unfortunately, a lot of people kind of do that over and over again. So you know, the kinds of products that we've got that we're carrying right now, those product lines tend to appeal or be used by like woodsmen or farmers or whatnot. Are there things this time of year that you find people really need to be thinking about or that you try to make them aware of so that, you know, just that you're not just selling someone, but you're also kind of prepping them for what this time of the season is about?
Yeah, so some of the things we talk about right now, I mean, obviously there's tons and tons of fence row training or fence row trimming going on right now. So as soon as it gets hard enough and easy to freeze up in the morning, people be out there. So they cut a lot of wood this time of year. So okay. If you want to burn wood for this fall, you certainly have to get it cut sometime this spring when it's, so you get it all summer to dry out and stuff. And again, the fence row trimming, it's the first time a lot of people have a chance. You know, the fall always runs late. It's hard to get things done during the winter because we had snow again. But when you have the spring, it's easy to get out there and do some trimming and stuff. So we're seeing chainsaw use for this. We're seeing brush cutters. We sell the Land Pride and the CDI brush cutters for both skid steers and tractors. Okay. And you can do a lot with those. You can back into things and do a lot of trim with that. with the different types of tools. And again, the corn yields, we're trying to get more and more corn and everything. So the way you do that, you have to keep your fence rows trimmed back.
Okay.
So that's one thing that goes on a lot this year or this time of year.
So any of the perimeter fencing, you just don't want to have that covered with a bunch of barnacles and whatever.
Yeah. That encroaches, every year it gets closer and closer to the corn. Yeah. Well, then you pretty soon you're planting, an extra one less row this year, maybe two right. less rows next year. So if you don't take care of that, it really does get into be a lot of extra acres lost to the woods.
Their buddy Hoffaker was on the show last week, and he was talking about invasive species too. And one of the things that Aldo Leopold Center is trying to do is to be aware of the kinds of things people need to do for land management to keep those invasive species under control. Because that also, even if you have a natural woodlands area, you're going to want to keep that stuff.
Yeah. So some of the big ones, we have garlic mustard in this area, and that's a huge thing. It's very invasive, and it'll take over the entire woods, and it's very tough to control. But you just have to keep at it and to keep working at it. And the Riverway people have a lot of problems with that. But the seeds will get stuck in deer and their fur, and pretty soon they plant it all over the countryside.
Sure.
And our property is up north in Pepin County, and we have not had garlic mustard, but we were walking the bike trail about 5 miles from our farm, and all of a sudden there's garlic mustard along the bike trail. So it's coming. We have to be prepared for that. So
it's coming.
It's coming. That's
it's
right.
It's coming.
Yeah.
Like the Bork, they're coming, and they will assimilate your bike trail.
Yes, they will.
What are you gonna do?
Yeah.
So now you've got and this time. I know you're in sales, but we also have some service things going on this time of year too. So people can get their lawnmowers ready. What are the kinds of things that you want to have done to your lawnmower this year to get ready? Because the spring is coming too, not just the invasive species, but spring is coming as
exactly
well.
Exactly right. Yeah, I noticed my grass is getting green.
Ah.
And of course, every year it happens. All of a sudden the grass just sneaks up on people, and all of a sudden they need to mow tomorrow, and their lawnmower doesn't start yet. So really, this is the time of year right now to really get thinking about that. Get that lawnmower. If you do it yourself, that's great, but get out there and get it done. So if you have a problem, you have time to get it fixed before we have to mow. And the weather can change a lot here, but the way it looked last week, my gosh, we'd be mowing in a month or so, and that's not very much time to start getting all those things done. And for our shop, it's impossible to get everybody's mowers done. We're selling hundreds of mowers every single year. And so over the last 37 years, I've sold a lot of mowers.
Yeah.
A lot of them still out there. Yeah. If you're going to need them fixed, you need to get them done sooner than later.
And there are kits you can get, too. If you are a do-it-yourself kind of person, there are kits that you can get that will give you all the major stuff, right?
Yeah, a lot of the companies have a kit, so you can buy the kit that has the air filter, the oil filter, and just some things like that. You need to get started, fuel filters, so you can get started with doing your basic maintenance on it. And then you're sharpening the blades up, cleaning the deck out, and all that kind of stuff, charging the battery, just to make sure that everything is ready for the spring.
I know. Well, that's one of the things I remember from my snowblower, but I know it happens with the lawnmowers, too, but I didn't realize how much fuel breaks down over the course of the year, over the course of the winter. And then, people have a tendency to use what they had in the gas can from last year, and that can be pretty bad for your power.
Yeah, it's really bad. You should have drained the oil or the gas out of the lawnmower. If you didn't do that, hopefully put some stable or something in there, but otherwise you can still drain it. You can pull the fuel line off and drain the gas that's in there out of there, and try to get fresh fuel in there, and don't use fuel that you had left over from last year. Even the snowblower fuel, if you bought it in October, November, is probably getting too old to run in that. So you can probably run that in other things, but don't put it in your lawnmowers, especially not your anything two-cycle also. So.
And they just can't handle the gunk that breaks down in those.
Yeah,
right?
It's a varnish kind of thing that gets in there, and the fuel breaks down. So when you're buying fuel for these, you really want to use the premium no ethanol fuel, and that will save you a lot of hassles. And then, again, if it's going to sit for a while, just put stable in it.
So it's usually the stuff that, when you talk about premium fuel, it's usually the stuff that's classed for, like, recreational vehicles, right?
Correct, yes.
So, and I know, like, Quick Trip has that kind of stuff.
Yeah, Quick Trip, most of the places have it in town here, so you can get it. Just have to watch which pump you're pumping from.
It's kind of a bad thing, too. I think of it, ethanol is really good in some respects in terms of better for fuel emissions or, exhaust emissions, but I've seen some of the things of what it does to engines that aren't designed to use it, and it really just takes a toll on them, doesn't it?
Yes, it's really fine for your automobiles, because generally we go through fuel pretty quickly in there, and it's great in the lawnmower. If you use your lawnmower every week and you can, like the commercial guys are mowing every single week, there's not going to be any problems on that. The problem is when it sits in there.
Okay.
So it's a difference.
Is it because it has higher water content, or is there something else?
There's moisture in the alcohol just tends to attack the plastic in the diaphragms and stuff like that, the rubber in the diaphragms.
Okay, just not a good mix.
Not
alcohol
a good mix.
Attacks a lot of things.
It does.
It attacks my brain cells.
You remember the other night? Yeah,
yeah.
It attacked you really hard.
I was like, oh, I don't remember who I was anymore.
Yeah,
that was a sad evening and all of
that. Was one of your Mary Poppins moments. You thought you were Mary again. Yeah.
Yeah, I became realized that I had purple on, and it was like, what am I doing wearing purple? It doesn't go with my hair at all. So. Yeah, those things strike you differently when you have alcohol in your system.
Yeah, it does. Exactly right, yeah.
Anyway, so are there other things that people should be thinking about, like blade sharpening? Do we have any things going on now that people can bring in just the blades off of their motor?
Yeah, so if you do your own maintenance but don't do your own blades, you can certainly drop those off. And generally, we'll get those done for you in a few days to get those sharpened up for you. But yeah, they need to be sharp for the spring. And the spring is typically real hard on blades because we haven't picked up all the sticks. There's maybe some stones from the snow plowing got in the driveway.
Sure.
Some of those things are hard on the blades. So, yeah, get them sharpened ahead of time is good for that. And then really after the spring, if you have a lawn like that where you've got some sticks and you've got some something, it really needs to be, you know, two or three mowings. You really need to get those sticks and everything are pretty well chopped up, and then it's time to get the blade sharpened again. But a sharp blade makes a huge difference on the quality of your cut.
Is that okay to go over? I mean, my wife usually yells at me when I go over the sticks and the pine cones. She's like, blah, 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 and I'm like, I don't think it hurts it, but
it's better to pick them up. it really truly is.
Darn it,
I know,
Bill,
a lot of people. You're riding.
I hope she's not listening right now.
You're riding your lawnmower and you're here. I mean, you're not going to get off and pick up every little stick.
Yeah.
So generally, the sticks they will dull the blades eventually. But and again, it's sharpening the blades, so it's a choice.
Tree limbs, that would be a problem.
Tree limbs are a problem. Yeah. If it stops a blade when you go over it, that's a problem.
Okay.
So too big of a thing.
That was not a good idea to ride over.
Yeah,
that
if it's
time.
Chopping them up and stuff, I mean, you can dull the blades and things, but it overall is not really going to hurt anything. So.
Okay. Yeah, it's one of those things. I guess if you don't mind sharpening your blades more often.
Right.
Is there a point where you can't sharpen your blade anymore?
Maybe. Yeah, they've got lift wings on the edges of them, so the very outside edge that kind of lifts the grass, they'll start wearing down.
Okay.
And when those wear down, you're just not going to get the lift anymore. So again, your quality of your cut will go down. So when the lift is back, if you bring them in, we'll say, gee, these are past where we can sharpen them. It may look okay, but if that wing starts getting some divots in it and some just receding back, it's not going to lift very well, and you're not going to have a good cut.
I never knew there was a lift blade on a
lawnmower.
There is.
Yeah.
So that's actually what's kind of pulling the grass up off the ground.
Yeah. So if you look at where the sharpened part is, directly behind that is the lift. And so if that's not enough lift on it to get the grass lifted up, the blade can't cut it then.
So
you're creating a vacuum, basically, under the deck.
Huh. So that's probably why those things work when they use lawnmower engines. They build little hovercrafts out of them. They're
exactly.
Just kind of reversing the process on it. Instead of lifting, it's pushing.
Right.
So I'm going to build one of those this summer, and then you'll...
Yeah, then
watch out for the alcohol.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about that one, Ralph.
Well, we're going to take a quick break here now that Bill has made me feel like totally inadequate as a power equipment person, because Bill's got some great things coming up here at McFarland's. In fact, one of them is even today. So we apologize for late notice, but hopefully our customers that are out there that are sensitive to things like planting technologies are already aware of it. But we want to just talk a little bit about some of the things going on with our good friends from AGCO Corporation here. But so don't go anywhere. We'll just take a quick word for a quick break from our sponsors. I just learned how to talk yesterday.
That was easy for you.
Wasn't it? Let's say that 10 times fast. Thanks for joining us on WRPQ Radio 99.7, and we'll be right back in just a minute.
Minor illnesses for ages 12 months and up are easily taken care of at the Prairie Express Clinic, 112 Helen Street in Sauk City. This walk-in clinic is devoted to the care of common health issues. Express Clinic hours are Mondays from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m., Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays from 1 to 7, and Fridays 9 to 4. The goal of Prairie Express Clinic is to provide the best possible care for patients. Prairie Express Clinic, the convenient walk-in clinic at 112 Helen Street, Sauk City. Prairie Clinics, dedicated to caring for the community the past 60 years.
Diamonds. Just the word makes a person's eyes sparkle. When it's time to give your special someone a diamond, make sure you know the jeweler you're dealing with. Trust Sophie's Fine Jewelry and Gifts in the Baraboo Mini Mall. They offer a gorgeous selection of diamond engagement rings in their diamond center. Sophie's also offers diamond earrings, pendants, and bracelets too. Ideal gifts anytime. In-store financing to qualified credit with up to 1 year interest-free terms. Sophie's Fine Jewelry and Gifts in the Baraboo Mini Mall. Highway 12, Baraboo.
DeMars Plumbing, since 1982, is the plumbing company to turn to for quality design, installation, maintenance, and repair of residential and business plumbing systems. DeMars Plumbing specializes in plumbing fixtures and water heaters, septic systems, private water well systems, radiant in-floor heating, and excavating and trucking needs. DeMars Plumbing, located just west of Sauk Prairie. They're open weekdays 7 to 5. Call 608-544-4471. Online at DemarsPlumbing.com.
And we're back here with Billy Bob Leavers. We call each other. I call him that. I've called you Billy Bob Leavers forever, and then you call me what?
Raul with the growl.
It's because that's how you say my name, Raul. Raul with the growl. Don't say Raul, because I'm not Raul. I'm Raul.
That's right.
With a growl. So, which is that was how you remembered that, I guess, and then it just became. Of course, then I called you something else, but it was like Billy with the Willy, which was like,
yeah.
I didn't think about what that word can mean in some social context. So
it all goes again, not thinking again.
Yeah,
can you believe that?
Yeah, there's the wet Willy though. I mean,
the wet Willy. That's not any funny.
No, they're not fun at all. So, but we won't do that to each other. Okay,
no, we won't.
So, you know, we were just talking about mowers and conventional mower technology, but you reminded me when we were off the air that there's actually brand new mower technology out there that you've got some experience with, right?
Yeah, actually, it's not brand new, but it's pretty new to us, and it's called the Husqvarna Auto Mower. And what it is, basically, it's like the little vacuum cleaners that bounce around your house.
You can Roomba? Also
get one that will bounce around your yard.
Ooh.
And so I installed one last year on my lawn. Okay. And the one thing a lawnmower salesman hates to do when he gets home is mow the lawn. So I put this thing in, and it worked extremely well.
You don't have a love affair with your mower? You're like, mower, did you miss me?
I do love my new auto mower. I really, truly do. It's a fantastic tool. So basically, you're putting some fencing down,
okay.
A little wire around the perimeter of your yard.
Okay.
And then this thing goes out every day, and it just mows certain parts of it. And so it's a random mower. So the first time out, it looks like, oh my God, this thing looks awful, but you have to just set it to mow more often.
Okay.
So really what it's doing, it's mowing off, you know, an eighth of an inch or a quarter of an inch at the most all the time.
Okay.
So once you get caught up with it, you don't notice that it's out there randomly mowing around and stuff. And I did notice that this year, towards the end of the year, after I've been mowing it that way for the whole summer, that my lawn was very, very healthy. The weeds were less, and the grass was very, very green. And it really likes to be cut short like that more often. And it doesn't like to have, like what I was doing, the mowing every couple of weeks. You'll go out there and you cut off 3 or 4 inches,
right.
And that dead grass lays on top of the grass. And this never, ever does that. It's just also constantly mowing the whole time. So
it's mulching that
and
those shorter
right
pieces.
Back, yeah, okay. The short pieces fall right back into the grass, and they're not tracking the house. We have a dog, and she doesn't track them in because they're short enough that that's not a problem.
Okay.
The kids don't drag it in and stuff. So it's really a fantastic machine, and it's about the price of a riding lawnmower.
Okay.
So you think about it, you know, I don't have to ride it. I don't have to buy gas for it. It's plugs into the wall. It comes back to its charging station every 30 minutes to charge.
Lithium-ion battery.
Lithium-ion battery, okay. So it should last for many, many years. And I mowed my lawn all summer with it, and I changed the blades once. And the blades are like a box knife almost. So okay. Just little tiny blades. There's 3 blades on there. And so they also don't hurt anything. So if they hit something bigger, it doesn't hurt anything. It doesn't damage what it hit. And we've had some things left in the lawn that the dog dropped, the boy dropped, and they get hit, but it doesn't really hurt them at all. So
really? So it's like dog poopy? Is that a problem?
I know, but it goes right over that. Doesn't even care, no.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Does it goop it up inside and you have to
it
go?
It does not, no.
Wow.
No, so it goes pretty well, and you know, I've got some hills. We're on the patio and stuff, and it walks right up those hills and mows it.
Cool.
And everything. So it's a very, very cool tool, and we're stocking those this year.
Okay.
So we've got them in stock. We've got the display is not here yet, but we've got a real nice display coming that will give you some demos and stuff on it and show you how it works. But yeah, we've got those in stock, and we can help with installation.
Does it handle like if you like we have a weird lot where it's kind of an L shape? Does it doesn't care what shape your lot is?
Nope, doesn't care. You just put the wire around it, and I've got one area that so I've got you know the front yard kind of in the backyard and divided by the driveway.
Okay.
Well, between my neighbors and our lot, there's about 3 feet.
Okay.
So it's pretty tight to get through there for it to just to bounce through there. So I actually had to run a guide wire down the middle of that spot, but now it follows the guide wire up to that other area and keeps it all mowed. So.
What about if you want to go to your carriage walk? Can you do that sort of thing? You know, like the front part of your
as long as you have a pathway to get there where you can put the wire.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you'd have to have something. Yeah, I guess if you have nothing but sidewalk there or driveway, that's going to be a problem. But
you can go right over the driveway. Who cares?
You can.
Sure.
So, how do you put the guide wire in then?
In the crack.
Oh, okay. Oh, really? Into the crack.
So, yeah. So I've got my sidewalk just divided. I've got just a little island out front of the sidewalk.
Okay.
And I've been able to lay the wire in the crack of the sidewalks. and go down and get that all taken care of also.
So wow. No problem. So you just warn people, you have to put like a lawnmower crossing sign or something at your sidewalk?
No, some people really look at it strangely when it crosses the sidewalk. And there's some people standing in the yard watching it one day, and then all of a sudden they crossed the sidewalk. And they backed up very rapidly. So. But again, it wouldn't have hurt them because it is a sensor, so if it bumps something, it backs up. So
see, I would do something really weird, like put a little voice thing in it that it could say, crush, kill, destroy.
Back off.
Get off my lawn.
Yeah, something like
or,
that, yeah.
Or if some dog comes along wants to poop on it, I woof, woof, and just watch.
Yeah, the dog gets a real kick out of it. And so do all the, we've heard from other neighbors that a lot of neighbors' cats like to sit in the windows and watch it when it's out there. So
I can believe that.
Very entertaining.
I can believe that. Yeah. So probably wanted, well, wasn't there a cartoon of a cat or something riding on one of those Roombas? So, because cat figured out it could just like perch on the thing and ride it around the living room.
Not get too dizzy.
Right, it was kind of digging that.
Yeah.
So. Well, now, we also have some other technology that we've got on display today, given that the way things are changing in the farming community. Today, there's a special event going on here, right?
There is.
Folks from AGCO?
Yep. We're having the planter days today. So basically, the title is, Every Seed Has the Potential to Contribute to a 500 Bushel Per Acre Average. What's Holding Yours Back?
500 bushels per acre.
Yes, yeah, so that's a pie in the sky kind of number at this point, but it's not unachievable at some point in the future here. But
you grew up on a farm. What was it like when you were a kid? What was the per acre yield supposed to be?
Yeah, we were hoping for 125 on our corn back then.
So that's like four times the amount of yield per acre,
yep.
Which just translates into huge amounts of efficiency and profitability, I would think, ultimately. Right?
Correct, yeah, and everything costs more. But also, you're getting a lot more for it. So, I mean, yeah, so we're getting, the 125 bushel on the average year kind of thing. And last year, there were a lot of 200 bushel acres out there. So there's a lot. Okay. It's gone up dramatically. Okay. And we're just able to do it much quicker. I mean, back in the day, of course, we would plow, and then we would disc, and then we would drag, and then we would disc, and then we would plant, and then we would drag again. So I mean, a lot of people now, we're doing, some kind of universal tillage with Insight kind of thing, or a real disc kind of tool. And then we're planting.
Yeah.
So we're not doing the six trips over. We're not compacting the soil so much. So, yeah, so tons of
which
tons
saves
of
on gas and right. I mean, all those other good things, too.
Exactly, yeah.
So what's this Precision Planting all about? What's going on?
Yeah, so Precision. So Precision is a company that primarily works on technology for all kinds of ag equipment. And AGCO or White Planters has partnered with them, and we can now order White Planters with Precision equipment built onto it. So the Precision stuff allows you to just plant better. You know, we used to be happy if we were planting in a 90% efficiency or effectiveness, we were pretty happy with that. Well, now we want 100%. So every seed, just like we talked about, has that potential. Well, if your planter is not planting at the maximum efficiency, you can't possibly get the better yield.
Right.
You have to have the seed planted correctly. It's got to be the right depth. It's got to be the right amount, and it's got to be spaced evenly. You can't have doubles. You can't have skips. All those things.
Well, that's even stuff we're looking at with the Insight product, is to get that even more precise so that the depth of those blades and coulters and whatnot is always the same. So
right.
If you set it to 9 inches, it's 9 inches all the way along or whatever.
Right. Yep.
So.
Yeah. So being more accurate with all your things is really the key to all that stuff. So the guys are here today. We got a couple guys from Precision. I think there were three guys from Precision here.
Okay.
A couple of guys from AGCO here. And so the Precision guys are basically talking about the agronomy of the seed. You know, what does a seed need to produce more corn? And AGCO last year did a pile of different field tests, and they tested everything from temporary misses to doubles to planting too deep, planting too shallow, and they've got all that information now.
Okay.
On spreadsheets, and you can actually analyze, you know, what happened, what's the best way to go. So we would set our planter in the morning, we'd plant all day, same settings. Well, as the day goes on, it's wind comes out, the soil changes. You actually needed to change your depth at some point throughout the day, and we just weren't doing that back in the day. And now with these new planters, you can do that much, much easier, and to be able to keep your depths correct and everything. So,
you know, it's fascinating to me, because I work in information services, I guess, but when you think of the way information is changing so much of what we do, I mean, and here's an example with farming, which has been, I mean, really pretty much the same for years and years and years in terms of the basic principles that farmers have to rule by. I mean, you know, a lot of things are out of their control in terms of, you know, you can't really control
weather.
When it rains.
Yeah.
Can't control, you know, all those things. But the things that we can control, we're really just really learning tons and tons and tons by the data that's collected by folks like this that helps us to make better decisions when, you know, we have the opportunity to make those decisions.
Yes. I mean, there's programs that can tell you, you know, that, you know, when you get to the top of the hill, you need to plant less corn. It's not going to grow as much yield. You're never going to get as much. So don't put as much fertilizer on. Don't put as much seed there. It's better for the soil, and it's better for your profitability. So all those things are all things that they can control with the new planters and with the technology going into the combine and everything else, that they can keep track of that so they know where those spots are.
Sure. Well, and so we have that's going on from 9 until 3 today?
Is 10 until 3 today.
From 10 until 3. Okay,
yep.
So it's not too late to come, right? This is a first
Correct.
Come,
you
first
can,
serve?
Yep, you can register when you get here, and there's plenty of room. We'll make room for everybody. So come on in and talk to these guys. And these guys are the true experts that know what's going on. We've got the Precision trailer here.
Yeah, it's a big honking truck in front of
it. 50-foot trailer, whatever, and it's got pullouts. It's like a monster mobile home, and you've got a stage basically set up inside there. So you've got very comfortable chairs. You come in there, you can sit down and listen to the guys talk about their Precision products.
So some of it will be in our facility upstairs because we were setting up the room there, right?
Correct. And then so the Precision guys will be out in their trailer, and then the AGCO guys talking about what they've learned in the last year will be upstairs in our conference room.
Okay, so two different sets of workshops going on the same time, or are they going to be going back and forth?
It'll depend on how many people get here. Okay. If there's enough, they'll do the whole group together. Okay. If there's too many people, to divide them into two and do each one twice.
Okay, just go back and forth.
Yep.
So you haven't been in the Precision farming?
We were in there last year, and it's just a stage kind of thing.
Okay.
So it's really cool. They've gotten a lot of technology things showing up on the screens and things. They've got PowerPoint displays that they do and stuff, so it's pretty cool.
Another technology thing.
It is. In a trailer, it moves around the countries. I imagine that, Raul.
Yeah. Wow. Mobile.
Mobile, so, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Imagine if they could put me on wheels and take me around the country.
Yeah, exactly. Whoa, scary, Mary.
Oh, very, very scary.